From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. Recently, robots have been having a bit of a moment, like the one at the center of the movie Ex Machina.
Do you have a name?
Yes. Ava.
I'm pleased to meet you, Ava.
I'm pleased to meet you, too.
If you haven't seen the movie, that's when we meet the incredibly lifelike robot who could probably convince you that she's human. In the real world, machines aren't that advanced, but they are causing some profound changes, especially economic ones. It's a little bit reminiscent of the upheavals of the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century. And economists are taking note. A recent paper argues that robots will actually increase wealth inequality, and another study found that nearly half of the U.S. jobs are at risk of being computerized over the next two decades. With me to explore the economic implications of all of this are Stacey Vanek Smith from NPR's Planet Money and Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times. And Stacey, this week on Planet Money, you've been doing a series on this subject, and your reporting found that robots are replacing humans in some pretty unexpected jobs. So should we blame them for unemployment and wage stagnation?
Robots?
Robots.
Well, I mean, perhaps, actually, yes. So robots are showing up in some really surprising places, and they're taking some really good jobs. I mean, this happened 40 years ago. They took a lot of really high-paying manufacturing jobs. People retreated a lot to the service industry. And now a lot of service industry jobs, things even like grocery store checker and things like that, are starting to be replaced. But as you were saying, some surprising jobs, for instance, therapists now, they have robots. I actually visited one of them in California that can measure your facial expressions and make determinations about your emotional state.
Does it ask questions based on the way you respond to the question that they asked before?
Well, in my experience, the answers were, or the questions were a little bit routine, and the responses to your answers were a little bit vanilla. But what they're doing is asking you questions like, what is your biggest regret?
And people felt comfortable giving the answer.
Well, I don't know if I felt comfortable giving the answer, but I did give an answer. Her name is Ellie. The robot's name is Ellie, which is why I'm calling her. But she was just measuring all of my expressions and my micro expressions and how much I moved my body and face, and then measuring that against this big database to determine if I was depressed or, in the case of what Ellie's been built for, had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, Cardiff, if Stacey says that we've seen this before, we've seen people lose their jobs before because of new machines replacing them, is there something different about the moment we're in right now?
It's possible, and I think Stacey just talked about it, which is that the worry is that robots are now taking what were once thought to be uniquely human jobs, jobs that required things like perception, judgment, the kind of non-routine movements that you don't associate with like an assembly line or something like that. And it does appear to be happening. What's really hard about this topic, though, is that the evidence on the economic impact of automation, of robots, is more suggestive than it is conclusive. So we know, for instance, that a lot of the middle class jobs are being kind of hollowed out, and they're being replaced by jobs that require less skill and pay less, and then a few jobs also that are higher skill and that pay a little better as the economy and as the workforce becomes a little bit better educated, right? But we don't know what's going to happen next, and it's hard to kind of tease out the cause and effect here. But if it's true that, in fact, they're increasingly taking over jobs that were once thought to be quintessentially human, then this is definitely something to worry about, something to watch.
You know, when the Industrial Revolution happened back in the 19th century, it took a while for all of the changes that it sort of wreaked on society before people were able really to take advantage of it. Could we be in one of those moments where it's hard to know what the future is going to be, but 60 years from now, there'll be jobs that we never imagined. There'll be things that we'll be doing that we shouldn't actually worry about having to report to our robot overlords.
Well, that's what's always traditionally happened. After the Industrial Revolution happened, there were a few decades, 30 years or more, depending on who you read, where there weren't really new jobs created and where income stagnated and where people really weren't better off. But after that, the jobs always came back in new industries that we couldn't have imagined before. I mean, even things now like the software industry, probably could not have imagined that back in even the early 80s.
Right, right.
But now there's a question of whether the jobs will be replaced again this time. And it's because of what Cardiff was saying, because robots are entering all these new fields and sort of showing all these new skills to do things that aren't just sort of rote, repetitive things, but have more of a capacity, like things like self-driving cars, things like that, where the robot's actually able to kind of go into an area that's less structured and excel.
Cardiff, are we prepared from a political point of view, from a responding to these changes by changing the society to make sure that there are unemployment benefits or people are getting training? Is there that will to make a compensation for lost work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a little skeptical that we are ready, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think a lot of times politicians will talk about what they'll have to do in response to like widening income or wealth inequality. But usually they're kind of incremental steps, right? But the kind of fears that we're talking about now are that things are going to change so much that you're going to have such a wide swath of the population that can't find work, that they've been essentially not priced out of work, but they've essentially been automated away, like their skills are no longer useful. And so what do you do about them? Well, that to me suggests that we're going to need not just a small incremental or marginal step, but a big kind of change. Some of the big wrenching changes that Stacey was talking about it's not going to be adequate to respond to those changes with, slightly higher taxes on rich people and slightly more, you know, redistribution and spending on people who don't have work or bigger unemployment benefits. It's going to require something a lot bigger than that. And it's not even clear what that is.
Well, to look not so far into the future and maybe just in the next couple of weeks, Stacey, what's a story that you're paying attention to?
Well, I've been looking – this is not necessarily a news story, but I've been paying a lot of attention to what's going on with the drought in California. I think there's a lot of interesting ideas starting to come out right now about how maybe to restructure the old water rights and how some farmers are coping with it and things like that. So that's what I'm focusing on right now.
Cardiff?
So the possibility that there's going to be further economic integration between the United States and Cuba is a topic that's very much on my mind these days. Right now, diplomats from both countries are meeting because they want to move towards establishing embassies in both countries. Earlier this week, the Cuba Special Interest Section in the U.S., it hasn't had a bank account in a couple of years. It finally got one, all right, which makes perfect sense, and it's about time they let them do that. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, what else happens in the months ahead.
Well, Cardiff Garcia with Financial Times and Stacey Vanek-Smith with Planet Money, thanks for joining.
Thanks, Charlie.
And you can find the stories about automation from Planet Money available on its podcast, which you can find on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for this program, too. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.